Move to the next case. Shaw versus Alberto Gonzalez.
Morning, Your Honor.
Mr. O'Meara.
Morning, Your Honor. John O'Meara representing the petitioner. In this case, we have a man who was a native Indian, came here 30 years ago approximately, and in 1990 he got convicted of improper sexual contact with a minor. 10 years after that, he was asked to report for a possible deportation or removal.
Mr. O'Meara, we have really looked at this case, so I'm going to just get right into it with
Great.
You. Suppose we were to find the Blake case to be unconstitutional.
Yes.
That still wouldn't be of any help to Mr. Shaw, would it? Because the IJ made his decision in a pre-Blake world, assuming that Mr. Shaw was eligible for a waiver under 212C. So how would a ruling on Blake help Mr. Shaw, do you think?
Well, it would require more than just that. That's correct. I agree with the court there. But what happened in that case, Your Honor, is that the IJ also said that he was not going to follow the usual procedure, the usual standard of proof required in these cases. He said, I'm quoting this on page 89 of the record, the respondent's conviction was serious. As such, the application of a higher standard was appropriate to this case. He does not say what that higher standard might be. In fact, he says, had the respondent been able to meet this higher standard, his case would be denied in the exercise of discretion. So what he's really arguing for is license. He's saying, in effect, that I have the authority, just as if a person stepped off the curb in the middle of the block and got hit by a car, that the motorist had the right to run him over, even though he saw him in good stop. He has taken the position, basically, that he's, in a sense, like a mandarin, a king, who will do as he wishes, regardless of the usual procedure where you weigh the pros and cons of the favorable and unfavorable factors. And in that regard, it becomes much more important than that the government should have provided him with my client with the transcript, because it would become apparent that that's exactly what he did. And we argued that that was a violation of due process, because this court has already decided that question in Ortiz-Salas, basically saying that if you don't get a transcript, you don't have a meaningful appeal. I mean, there are many cases dealing with what the IG asked. In fact, this morning I heard a lot of questions. What did the IG say and what was the answer? That couldn't be shown here because we asked for the brief and we couldn't get it.
The record.
In that regard, the government claims that we didn't ask for this on the motion to reconsider, but we did. We asked for this question was brought up from the day that the case got to the appellate stage, and it was never granted. And
Well, would it have made any difference if Mr. Shaw had appealed both the original BIA decision as well as the decision following the motion for reconsideration?
I don't think it did, because the motion for reconsideration raised the very same subject. Raised the question, Blake was new, so Blake was argued more strenuously in the motion to reconsider. But the brief, the motion to reconsider specifically states, ask the court to review all of the points raised in both the motion to reconsider before the IG and also the brief before the BIA. And the argument was there. The argument was in the brief before the BIA, and it said, in essence, that he couldn't really make a good appeal on the question of discretion because he had no record to work with, and that this was a denial of due process. And there are cases which deal with this question and say that, well, if some part of the transcript is missing, that's acceptable, or if it's made up by, you know, bystanders report, maybe some of the missing stuff will be acceptable. But this is a case where nothing, literally nothing, was given to us.
Is it your view that Blake is brand new?
Yes and no. Since Francis, Your Honor, that's why I spent some time in the brief about the history of the law since Francis. But it seems like the board has wavered with regard to this. And sometimes they say, well, there has to be a statutory counterpart in the sense of wording of the same nature. Other times they look at it from the standpoint of, well, what would be the result, since the issue is since the essence is, what did the man do and what would happen to him on the exclusion side as opposed to the deportation side? And here there clearly would be a difference if you just simply went on the grounds of statutory counterpart. I think Francis means that people who are essentially in the same position should be treated in the same way. In other words, on the exclusion side, in this case, he could have gotten a discretionary waiver because as a crime of moral turpitude, where he didn't spend 5 years in prison, he could be granted a waiver. And they're saying, well, we're not looking at the language about moral turpitude here. We're looking at sexual contact with a minor. So I think that that's an unfair way of doing it, because it results in a different result depending on whether you're an excludable person or a deportable person. In conclusion, Your Honor, I'd say that the denial of, first, this IG did not use discretion. He used license, and ought to be said as such. He said he had a right to do this regardless of what the proof was, and that the fact that we didn't get a transcript is very important in this case. It's a denial of due process. And I think that if Blake were to be considered proper law, you were going to have unequal protection for people in essentially the same position.
Well, the IJ referred to this as, I guess, repulsive. Is that the word?
Yes.
And we don't know any other details than that. Is that
right?
Because we don't have the record or transcript.
Exactly. And I think, Your Honor, if the record were available, it would be seen that he was actually acting essentially as a prosecutor as well as a judge. And like all of us, he fell in love with his own theories, I think. It could be that that was the problem.
Yeah.
Reserve the rest for rebuttal.
Yeah. Ms. Martin?
Good morning, Your Honors. Anne Barnon for the respondent.
Ms. Barnon, I'm going to really start you right out because I want to know where the record is in this case. Do we have any way of knowing whether the BIA had the record when it reviewed the decision of the IJ?
We know that in the local rules of the immigration court, they do not transcribe normally proceedings for a motion to reopen or reconsider. And that was relayed to the petitioner in writing, and the petitioner was given an opportunity to come and listen to the transcript. I believe that the petitioner has stated that he complained to the clerk of the immigration court saying that he was unable to hear. Now, I apologize to the court. I was not assigned to brief this case, and I have not had the opportunity in time to request this tapes from the board, which I could have done and will do if the court would like.
I was
to determine whether
I was actually going to request a copy of the tape in this case, because what I'm having a lot of trouble understanding is, well, of course, why would a tape have been transmitted to the BIA if Mr. Shah checked the wrong box on the cover on that cover page indicating that he was only appealing the motion for reconsideration. You know, why would they have got, why would he have gotten even the tape? The tape's the only record.
Yes.
So why would he have gotten the tape if he had checked the wrong box?
I can't say.
I know, and it's terribly troubling to me.
But the immigration judge, I would say, contrary to the petitioner's representation, that the judge was the judge was making a discretionary determination, and the judge had in the record, we have the criminal conviction, we have all of the documents that the petitioner presented in favor of his equities. And the immigration judge stated in the decision of January 31, 05, the judge said that all of the petitioner's equities had been considered and weighed, and that the judge finally came down and the judge had the discretion to do that. That's not just something pulled out of the sky. The judge had the discretion to determine that despite all of these equities, the crime that was committed by the petitioner was such that the judge did not feel that those equities outweighed the repulsive crime, I believe was the exact way that the immigration judge had stated it.
And that decision denying the motion for reconsideration is in writing and is in the record.
Yes, it is. And the judge had the discretion, particularly in denying a motion to reopen or reconsider, which would be disfavored in any event, but the judge had the discretion to do that. And
so there's more to it than just an arbitrary decision that I'm denying relief because I can?
Certainly, Your Honor. Well, this is a sad case. It is.
Oh, it's terrible.
No doubt that there were equities here, and the immigration judge had the responsibility and is given the responsibility to weigh those, but also is given the responsibility and the discretion by Congress to come down on one side or the other. And because this is a discretionary decision, and the court should dismiss the petition for review for lack of jurisdiction.
Now, that argument, forgive me, but
certainly,
that argument that we don't have jurisdiction is very strange to me, because it was my understanding, and you help me if I'm wrong, but it was my understanding that we are reviewing only the BIA's decision on the motion to reconsider.
That's
and
correct.
And that decision addressed only the constitutionality of Blake.
Well, the if I am correct, Your Honor, and I believe I am, the board said that that it found no error in the in its prior decision. And in its prior decision, the board stated that it approved of the immigration judge's discretionary denial of the motion to reopen on the basis that the petitioner did not merit a 212C waiver in the exercise of discretion. So that should not be curious. That's pretty straightforward, that the board denied the motion to reconsider on the basis that the petitioner had failed to show error of law or fact in the board's prior decision, in which it stated clearly that it approved of the immigration judge's denial of the 212C waiver in the exercise of discretion. So it is, you are absolutely correct that we are only considering here, the court has only to consider here, the denial of the motion to reconsider. But the denial of the motion to reconsider The board stated that its prior decision was correct, and its prior decision was that the immigration judge had properly denied 212C relief in the exercise of discretion.
So am I wrong when I think that the BIA's decision on the motion to reconsider addressed only the constitutionality of Blake?
No, Your Honor.
I'm right. Just
I would say that is incorrect, because the board is saying that the petitioner failed to show any error of fact or law in its prior decision in which it approved of the immigration judge's denial of the discretionary waiver in the exercise of discretion. So the court need not reach at all the constitutionality or the viability or of matter of Blake in this particular case. There's just no need to.
Well, is it your argument that the IJ took into consideration this man's superb record since 1991?
Yes. All of those documents that he submitted on his behalf are in the record, and the immigration judge...
But how do we know they're in the record when we don't have them?
No, we have them in the record. We do have them. They are in the record, but we do not have a transcript of the immigration judge's decision.
Right. So how do we know that he considered that? I mean, you know, maybe he didn't look at that. I mean, we need these people to tell us what they looked at, what they saw, what they based their decisions on. Well, as you know, the Seventh Circuit, along with the Second for certain, and the mm-hmm. Ninth, and many other circuits, are being driven mad by this.
Well, Your Honor, this would be a matter that would have to be taken up with the Board of Immigration Appeals, because they would be responsible for the immigration courts and what their procedures are, and the procedure is not to supply a transcript of the hearing for a motion to reconsider.
Yeah. You see, I don't want to take out after you. You're obviously wonderful. But Ms. Varnon, I understand, you know, that rules are rules and have to be enforced, but it seems to me that Mr. Shaw is really caught up in one big game of gotcha here, because if only he had alleged IJ error in addition to his Blake argument in his motion for reconsideration, if only he had known to appeal both the original BIA decision and the motion to reconsider, if only, you know, he hadn't checked the wrong box on the BIA appeal form, he would have had a transcript. It seems to me that Mr. Shaw loses because every procedural I wasn't dotted and T crossed, and that's such a troubling form of justice. And isn't that what's going on here?
Well, it's a troubling form of justice, but it is our system of justice that people are bound by the representations of their attorneys. And in this particular case, we have all of the matters in the record that would lead the judge to weigh, as the judge said that he did, the equities of whether or not this person should be given a discretionary waiver of under 212C. And the judge said that even if the petitioner had met his burden, which he felt that the petitioner sincerely had not, that he would have to deny in any event in the exercise of discretion due to the serious and, as the judge put it, repulsive nature of the crime.
Now, of course, there are no rules of evidence in immigration proceedings, so correct. The petitioner can be questioned regarding the underlying details of a crime. The
yes.
immigration judge doesn't have to just look at the face of the conviction.
That's correct. There is board precedent to that effect in matter of Marin.
You know, one wonders if Mr. Shaw had known how the law would have changed, you know, 14 years up the river, if he would have pled guilty, and one wonders, you know.
That is, in fact, true of all of our actions, is it not, Your Honor?
No.
With citizen, and
no,
we're not always...
Not like this. I mean, you know, we're finding a lot of ways to send a lot of people who have paid their price to society, who have turned their lives around, who have been quite remarkable citizens. We're finding ways to throw them out of this country.
Well, the conflict is the 4-month probation or whatever it was, or what was it anyway, 5 months?
I believe he was sentenced, as far as his crime is concerned, he was sentenced to 4 years probation, and he did serve that with without any problem. And
but I guess it, for a repulsive crime, as we envision it, and even 4 years probation, that's a, you know, there's no incarceration, there's no punishment like we might see nowadays for a child abuser or something like that. Sometimes they get 40, 50 years. So that's where there seems to be a, obviously the IJ reacted pretty strongly.
The immigration judge had that authority,
yeah,
to exercise his discretion whether or not to grant the 212C waiver in the exercise of discretion. And the judge said that the petitioner simply failed to meet his burden of proof to overcome that, even though he had about 7 or 8 documents, I believe, attesting to his fine character and his rehabilitation and so on.
And this happens in any event, counsel, that discretionary judgment is unreviewable.
That's correct, Your Honor. It is unreviewable. And that is the bottom line in this case. The court lacks jurisdiction to review the board's denial of the motion to reconsider the discretionary denial of 212C relief.
It's Blake.
The court need not go to matter of Blake in this case. And
can you point that out to me? Where it says that it's been decided on the discretion and not on Blake. Can you just tell me exactly where it is, because
the board's decision, it would be found at page 27 of the administrative record.
Yeah.
That's the board's decision of June 29th, 2005. The board says on January 31, 2005, the immigration denied the respondent's motion to reconsider his decision, denying respondents' application for a waiver under 212C of the INA. We agree with the immigration judge to deny a waiver on a discretionary
That's
basis.
That's the wrong order. You are reading from the wrong order. The decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals, August 25th, 2005.
Yes, that is the... In that, the board says at sentence, beginning at sentence number 2, we have reviewed the contentions raised in the respondent's motion, but find that our previous decision in these proceedings was correct.
Well, I'm going to have to, I won't keep you here, but I have to go back because I am looking at something completely different here.
Okay, I was quoting the August 25th decision of 2005, and there the board says that we find that our previous decision was correct, and in its previous decision it stated We agree with the immigration judge to deny a waiver on a discretionary basis.
What's the date of the previous decision?
June 29, 2005. So both of the decisions were in 2005 in June and August. So I think that the respondent would urge the court to dismiss this case for lack of jurisdiction, and on the basis that the petitioner is challenging and completely independent and dispositive decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals denying the motion to reconsider. And the court need not reach the board's statutory ineligibility finding in matter of Blake.
Okay, that's about a long wrap on it. Okay.
That's all I have, Your Honor. Any further questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Romero.
Mr. Romero, can you clarify this? There are two orders here.
Yes. One order appears, the one that you asked about, Your Honor, appears on page 2 of the record. And it, I can read it. It says, pursuant to 8 CFR 1003.2B, a motion to reconsider shall state the reasons for the motion by specifying the years. Are you reading from the same?
I'm reading with you, yeah.
Yeah, and then it says, we have reviewed the contentions raised in response motion, but find our previous decision in these proceedings was correct. In addition, we repeat that because the aggravated felony ground of removal applicable to this case, i.e. sexual abuse of a minor, under Section 101A43A of the Act, AUSC 1101A43A has no statutory counterpart in the grounds of inadmissibility under 212A of the Act. The respondent is not statutorily eligible to apply for a 212C waiver. Matter of Blake 23INN decision 722BIA.
So what's the upshot of these two orders in your view?
Well, in one sense, I think that going back to what we asked on the motion to reconsider, we asked him, the judge, the BIA, to consider everything that was raised in the appeal brief, and that included the question of whether we got our transcript and whether it was needed. You will recall first that when we got the letter, in effect, saying that we don't ordinarily grant transcripts, it says you may raise the question of that lack in your brief, and that was raised in the brief. And when the motion to reconsider was made, the question, the judge was again asked to go back to the original brief that was filed with the BIA, and also even the motion to reconsider before the IG. So I think that we raised the question of lack of transcript as a matter of due process in the brief. And incidentally, with regard to the court's question about which box was checked, in the notice of appeal, we specifically set out under paragraph 3 the reasons why the IG's decision was wrong as a matter of law. So the question of what we were appealing from was clear regardless of the box checking by reason of the content of paragraph 6 of our notice of appeal.
But they don't go to page 2, Mr. Romero. They do not go to page 2.
Who's this?
The IJs. They look at the board. They look at what's checked, and that's where they seem to stop. The June 29th order says, when the respondent requested reconsideration of the decision, he did not allege any error in the immigration judge's decision. Now, that's wrong, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Obviously.
And then they say, for that reason, we would dismiss the respondent's appeal. So where's the discretion? Where's the proper discretion in all of that?
It was an exercise, Your Honor, and the board couldn't review anything because it had nothing before it to look at. Are there any other questions?
If not, taken under advisement.
Thank you, Your Honor.